Our Bible reading today comes from Acts 2, starting at chapter 36 and going to 47. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Ahmad and Shaheen became Christians a couple of years ago, and their life has changed big time. It's a wonderful story, theirs, in the detention centre at Villawood, but helped there by one community of believers. Now, they're cut off from family back in Iran. They have no money. They are now Christians, and their life is in danger if they are to return. They are here, and they know no one. They have nothing, but they have become Christians. There's this one church in particular that supports them. And it really starts with a couple, two people. These two people, they write letters, and they get their church to help them in this, to write letters to the government on their behalf. They visit them, and they enable them to be able to stay here and to settle, assuring that the government that they will be provided for. And they are provided for. They're given accommodation. They're given all that their rent, utilities, food. They're given it all. They're given a car, which was actually provided by two people from this congregation. They help them find work. As my friend tells me the story, I just love how these two people, they've become Christians. Their life has changed, not just because they now know Jesus, but their life has changed because of being part of a community of believers. Ahmad and Shaheen, they have received life in Jesus, and they experience that life in a community of believers. You see, turning to Jesus radically changes your life. Not only are your sins forgiven, not only do you receive the Holy Spirit, both of those, we saw that last week, but you are part of a new community, a community of believers. That's what we see with Ahmad and Shaheen. That's what we see here in Acts 2, what we've just read. And I know it's true for many of us, and it can be true for all of us. Now, we're going to focus on the passage from verse 42. And it's very easy for us to read this passage and get a very nice picture of the early church. But just think what has happened. Okay? In a week, the church, the believers, have gone from 120 to 3,000. All right? That's happened in a week with Pentecost and the events that we looked at last week. And a massive shift has come over the lives of these people because they have come to see that Jesus is Lord and Christ. And as we saw last week, when people see who Jesus is, the only response is to turn to him, to repent. And you have your sins forgiven, you receive the Holy Spirit. All right, so a massive change has come upon the lives of these people. On this day, 3,000 of them are converted. They come to see who Jesus is and they turn to him. Well, what does life now look like for these new believers? These people who have come to see who Jesus is, what does their life now look like? That's what we're looking at this morning. And we're going to see the joy of being part of a community of believers. So Acts 2 verses 42 to 47 gives us a snapshot. Now to me as I read this, it sounds like a week-long Christian camp or conference, yet it's in Jerusalem, not Katoomba or wherever you might be. Now during my uni years, the best 2 weeks for each of my years going through uni was easily KYLC, Katoomba Youth Leaders Conference, which is now Next Gen, and MYC, Mid-Year Conference. So you go away with five days with hundreds and hundreds of other Christians. 5 days you receive great teaching, solid teaching. 5 days of digging deep into God's Word in small groups. 5 days of sharing meals together and just hanging out, sharing life together. That was great. You know, a couple of weeks ago I was at Next Gen up at Katoomba. And this is what one person says. She says, everything was brilliant and I've grown heaps and it's just amazing to be surrounded by other Christians for a whole week. Now this is what I'm sensing here in Acts 2 of what it is like to be surrounded by other Christians, what life looks like in a community of believers. Now, 4 things stand out for me. They're in your handout. So I want to share with you these four things. The joy of being part of a community of believers. So the first one is devoted. These Christians are devoted. Devoted. Committed. If you're devoted to something, you give yourself wholly to that thing. 100% devoted. Right, it's not half-hearted. If you're devoted to something, you don't just do it when you feel like it. You are devoted. I think of those competing at Sochi at the moment. How devoted they are. How many times they have practiced. Right, whatever their event is, going down the slopes. How many times they've done that. I think of Yana Pittman from the 400-meter hurdles in Sydney 2000. To now the bobsled in Sochi 2014. And I don't think it's just because, well, we've got no one else who can bobsled, so someone's got to do it, and, well, she can run a little bit, so, well, she might as well. Like, can you imagine how much work she has put in to get there? I heard an interview the other day, 5 hours a day just working on the sled, right? Oiling it, tightening the bolts, sanding it down, aligning the rails. And then there's all the practice, all the runs. Right? That's devotion, isn't it? Devoted. We read here, Acts 2 verse 42. They devoted themselves, what to? To the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, in the last week or so, my Facebook has been full of first day at school photos. Although this last week has been full of Facebook movies. Now this is like a first day at school photo. Here we have, this is like a kindergarten of 3,000 people. Alright, they've just been converted, they've just become Christians, and now they're devoted to learning. They sit at the feet of the apostles, those whom Jesus has taught and discipled, They now teach and disciple others. They are devoted to learning. They just want to soak up what the apostles have to say about Jesus. They've come to see who Jesus is. He is the Lord and Christ. Now they want to keep learning. What does that mean? They want to keep learning about Jesus and now what that means for them as they keep living now as a believer. Now for us, this apostolic teaching is in the New Testament. It's been recorded for us and we can read it and think about it at any time. We can be devoted to learning from the apostles. I've been taught and discipled by many over the years. I fondly remember Rhett, from when I was in year 8 right through high school and then after high school as well. He took a real interest in teaching me the gospel, everything about Jesus. I remember others, Paul, Mark, Jens, Philip, a number of people who have taught me so that I can understand Jesus and what the apostles have written for us. I've taught many and will keep doing so. And many of those that I've taught and discipled, they're now teaching and discipling others that other people can know about Jesus. Devoted to God's word, to learning about Jesus as Lord and Christ. It's also devoted to the fellowship, to one another. And then it talks about the breaking of bread and prayer. So I take that to be included as part of the fellowship. The breaking of bread could be what we're about to do as we celebrate Lord's Supper. But it could just be as they eat and share meals with one another. Devoted. Could that be a word to describe us? Could devoted be a word to describe you and your Christian life? All right, so that's the first thing, devoted. Second thing that stands out to me, they are filled with awe. Now, this learning and what they're doing, it's not merely an intellectual thing. It's not merely a social thing either as they gather together, their fellowship. They are filled with awe. You see, this is a God thing. They can fully sense God at work. They've come to see who Jesus is, that he is Lord and Christ. He is the name above every name. And it's like they are blown away by that, by coming to that realization of who Jesus is. And that they are filled with awe by the wonders that the Spirit is enabling the apostles to do amongst them. Right? They sense, they know that they are part of something big. That God is very much at work here. They've received the Holy Spirit themselves. And they know God is at work. God is doing something powerful here. This is Imad and Shaheen. As they look at how they've been looked after, they are filled with awe. The people that they would hardly know, just because they are Christians, they've been looked after by this community of believers. They are filled with awe as they see God's people loving and acting out the things that they believe. They know full well that what has happened to them in enabling them to be able to settle in this country is a God thing. They fully recognize God's kindness and his goodness in this. So let us be a people who marvel at God, at how great he is and the work that he is doing amongst us and around the world, what he is doing as he continues to call people to himself. As more and more people come to see that Jesus is Lord and Christ. And may that be expressed in our community with one another. May we be filled with wonder at the glorious gospel. Well, the third thing that strikes me in this new community of believers is their togetherness. Hear it from verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. What is it that they do together? They meet together. They do it in the temple courts. They do it in one another's homes. They share what they have together. They eat together. They praise God together. And they do it with glad and generous hearts. You read this, they are not about the individual, are they? It's not all about them. They are now part. This is a community. They are part of a community of believers. You see, church is not something they go to. Church is something that they are part of. They are the church. As they meet, as they do these things, they are the church. They are a community that shares their life and the gospel with one another. And you can see here, it's so much more than just a one day a week thing. Now, what about us? 2,000 years later, in our Western individualistic society, we got to work much harder at this, don't we? We can very easily live very individual lives. And it can be about me. And when I come to church, it can be, well, how I'm going to be fed and what I'm going to get out of it. But we are a community. We gather together as God's people to learn, to fellowship with one another and to share our life and the gospel with one another. So our Sundays are to express this. Now, I love those of you who, when we finish here, it doesn't just finish, but I love those of you that are able to invite people back into your homes and share a meal with some other people. I love that many of you are able to do that. And when you do that, it doesn't have to be a three-course MKR meal, like salads and a barbecue chicken and rolls is fine. And your house doesn't have to be super tidy. Because if it did, for a lot of us, that would mean that we could never have people around. This is just sharing life as we are. So it doesn't have to be spectacular. Just as we are, sharing life and having other people in our homes. This is why our life groups, why they are such a big part of what we do as a church. And I love it that already, we've only just begun them last week, but already we have over 60 people in life groups, meeting in small groups during the week. Right, that's another opportunity that we have to really share our life and the gospel with one another, where we can more easily do in a home what we can't do here in a big group. Like eat. So here we have a very little morning tea. In homes, we can eat much more. Or in a home, in a life group, you can actually discuss things much more rather than just having one guy up the front who is preaching at you. You can discuss and talk about things a whole lot more. Right now, life groups, that's where we can really together apply God's word to our life and discuss it and work out in this situation and that what it means. Where you can be praying for one another. So I love that already over 60 of us are in life groups. That's great. So I hope that your experience of church and life group and just our whole church community is a really positive one this year as we share our life with one another in the good and the bad. That we can know that we're not here on our own, but we have one another. That together we can love to be a part of that, that we can marvel at God and His goodness, and that we can keep working hard together at what this means in our day-to-day life. That's what we're about. Together, We're following Jesus together. All right, so the fourth and final thing that stands out to me from this passage, there are converts. All right, now, wouldn't it be easy for this community just to become really comfortable and insular and inward looking? That'd be easy, wouldn't it? For this community just to be a really close-knit community and just to be focused on one another. But that's not the case. God's got other plans. What's happening? Verse 47, second part of it. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Right, and there were 3,000 to start with. So it was never a really small, close-knit community, was it? And then they're doing lots of things in homes. And lots of these converts, they were actually from out of town, weren't they? They'd come to Jerusalem for Pentecost. Right, now, no doubt now that some have stayed in Jerusalem, but then they'd be going back to wherever they've come from. But here they keep seeing converts. The Lord adds to their number daily. This is a community that is not just growing inwardly, they are also growing outwardly. Now, we're not told how this happens. And we're not told if they were zealous in just getting out there and evangelizing and telling other people about Jesus. Or maybe this community just became contagious. And other people saw what was going on and they just wanted to be a part of that and they wanted to know why. What's happened to these people? Why are they so different? Maybe this change in their life then gave them opportunity to speak about Jesus with other people. And we don't know. It just says the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. But it means they were hearing the gospel and they were responding. They were repenting. Now, I'd love nothing more than for us here this year that we see people becoming Christian. Now, wouldn't that be great to see people seeing for the first time who Jesus is, that he is Lord and Christ? We're growing, aren't we? You've noticed that? Yeah, like this year already, we've been growing, which is great. Great to have new people here. If you are new this year, welcome to you. It's great that you are here with us. Now, a lot of the new people that have joined us recently are Christians, which is good. It's great to have you here with us. Wouldn't it be great, though, to see more people who are not Christian at the moment coming to see the truth of the gospel for the first time and responding and then being part of a community of believers. That's something that I'm praying for, that we would see more people in this area that just keeps growing, people from many cultures and nationalities, that we would see some of them this year become Christians and join us, join our community. Wouldn't it be great if God blessed us, blessed them in that way? I'm praying for some of my family who are not believers. When I walk up to the shops a few times a week, I'm constantly praying for the people in the homes who do not know Jesus. Our theme for this year is each one, reach one. Each one, reach one. We want to be a church where people are being saved. Where they hear the gospel message, they hear about Jesus, and they come to faith. Let me ask, who are three people that you can be praying for? Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, who are three people that you would like to see become a Christian? Now, have a think about that. And why don't you take a moment to write their names down. So write them down on the sheet of paper there, your handout, or on your phone. Three people who you are praying for or you could be praying for that you would love to see become a Christian. They mightn't live nearby. Maybe they're someone at work. Might be someone in your family. Might be your next door neighbour. Another parent you've got to know through school. You got three names. Maybe just take a moment and pray for those three people now. Father, we pray for your grace and your mercy on these people. And we ask that you would use us as you will to share Jesus with them. Put other people in their life as well who can share Jesus with them. And we ask, please, that you would enable them to come to faith. Amen. Well, if you're in a life group, next time you meet this week, why don't you share those three names with the others in your group so that you can be aware of that together and be praying together and sharing how you go throughout the year, engaging, having conversations with those people. Well, for us as a church, I'm praying that this would be a great year for us, for you as part of this church, that what Imad and Shaheen experienced, that each one of us will experience something along those lines. Just the joy of being part of a community of believers. That what we see here in Acts 2 will in some way be our experience too. The joy of being part of a Christian community. That we would be a community who is devoted, filled with awe at what God is doing in his world. That we would be more and more a community that shares our life and the gospel with one another. And that we would be a community that sees conversions.